Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
So know with me that there is only one amazing source of life, energy, and love. And it surrounds us right here, right now, and is available whenever and every time we seek for it. And I open up my awareness, I open up my heart, and I open up my truth to listen to Reverend Abigail's talk this morning on moving from unconscious to the conscious. So I know that I can move forward from default mode to intentional mode. And this brings me so much joy, so much creativity, and so much curiosity. So welcome to this moment, welcome to CSL Bellingham, and welcome to life. And so it is.
Reverend Abigail is a modern-day mystic and spiritual visionary. She is the assistant minister and education director at CSL Seattle. With a passion for weaving together ancient wisdom of diverse spiritual traditions with contemporary insight, Abigail brings a fresh perspective to her speaking and teaching, infusing each session with humor, practical insights, and boundless inspiration. Yet her true magic unfolds at Sister Spirit Retreats, which she has been running for 17 years. Kathy Angel was just there last month, had a marvelous time, and let me know about that, so I'm planning to go next year. Her last speaking engagement here was during Dr. Andrea's sabbatical on January 14th, and it was simply magnificent. So please welcome back to the stage, minister and returning champion, Reverend Abigail.
Thank you, Kailash. Yes, I'm Abigail Shire, and my pronouns are she and her, and it is a pleasure to be here today. My ancestry is from the European ancestors. My mom is Marilyn Joan, originally Donahoe, from the O'Donohoe clan in Ireland. So sending love to Reverend Andrea in Ireland right now. And my father, Edward DeVar Shire, is from the Shires in Germany. So Irish and German. And that has nothing to do with my talk, but I just thought you should know my ancestry because it's fun. But I do call forth my ancestors to be a part of this talk and to participate in supporting me both here on this side and on the other side, because if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here today. I honor my grandfather, Bill Donahoe, because he was the great speaker and storyteller of our family, and he did all of the storytelling. And so every time when I'm going to do a talk and I do a little prayer in the morning, I invoke my grandfather, because I, you know, that the amazing orators of the universe that have spoken before me, you know, and I say people like Barack Obama and Ernest Holmes and, you know, people that who have really inspired me, Martin Luther King, and my grandfather, Bill Donahoe. So today we're talking about moving from the conscious to the unconscious. And I'm just curious, why did you come here today? Really? Why? Anybody?
To be inspired.
Joy? To be inspired? What was that over there? For me? Oh, hi, Elise. I got some friends in the house. I love it. Joy to be inspired for friendship, for connection, right? For love, for family, peace. Yeah. So when I think about these things, that's kind of why I walked into a Center for Spiritual Living. Actually, I walked in, I had this dream when I was 14. I was in the Methodist Church. I left the Methodist Church. They really wanted to convince me about hell, and I really didn't want to believe in hell, so we had a parting of ways. But I did love the Christian tradition. I loved Jesus. I thought Jesus was way cool. He was pretty awesome. He could walk on water. I want to do that. That's pretty cool. And I also thought that all of these other religions might have had something cool to them as well. I started studying Buddhism and Taoism and, you know, Confucianism. And I was just, the more I studied different religions, the more I realized that there was a string of truth that ran through all of them. And I thought, God, why can't they just have some kind of, you know, faith system out there that's just about that string of truth? And, you know, and so I was sadly, you know, moped my way through my teenage years, wishing, dreaming, hoping that would be true. And then one day when I was 21, I walked into Center for Spiritual Living in San Jose. And across, there was this center similar to this, but they had banners from each of these, like, I don't know what they're called. What are those called? What? Trusses. Sorry, I don't see. I clearly don't know. Trusses. All right, these things, these brown things here, very similar center in San Jose, built almost the same way, and they had flags hanging down that had all of the different religious symbols, kind of similar to these guys. But and I was like, what is this place? What is going on here? And I realized that there was a teaching about life. And it wasn't just about God or spirit or spirituality, although it was. It was also about how can I live the life of my dreams? How can I thrive? How can I be the person I was born to be? And that's really what I've come here to share with you today, which is pretty much what the message is all the time, but we just need it at all different types of angles in order to get it at a deep level. At least I do. I don't know about you. So one thing I love is the quantum field. I love studying the quantum idea because there's all these mystics who said lots of things throughout the ages, and some people believed them and some people didn't, but then all of a sudden, this scientific theory came into being called quantum field theory, and it matches completely with what all the mystics have been saying. So it's kind of cool for all the logical scientific folks out there. There's evidence that what all the mystics have been saying for years is actually true, which I love because I'm a big science geek. So, right? Yay! So the quantum field theory says that there is an existence of a vast and boundless field of potentiality that is infinite and from all things arise. And it is no thing that everything arises from. I know. Yeah, it's just like, what? But the cool thing about that it's not bound by the constraints of time and space. It's malleable, and it actually is responsive to our thoughts and our intentions, which means we can be co-creators of reality, which is kind of awesome, especially when I realize sometimes there's areas of my life that I'm not happy with. It gives me an empowered idea that I can move forward when I recognize this isn't working. Well, you can figure out what is working. There's this book that's the book of the month, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza. Reverend Andrea told me that that's what we're using, and so good thing I had this book on my bookshelf, which I love. But before we go into that, I want to give you a little parable. The Lotus Sutra, which is a Buddhist book of stories, has a story about a wealthy man with a large mansion, and he's got many, many children. And the mansion catches on fire. And the fire is burning throughout the mansion, and he wants to get his children out. But the children aren't really aware that there's a danger going on, and so they're just playing and having fun. And so what he does, he calls out to his children, and since they ignore his original call, he decides to play some games. He decides to play some games. And so he has various methods, games and toys and ways of kind of coaxing his children out of the burning house to safety where they can be their full selves. And so this is a Buddhist story, and it's symbolic of our lives. The burning house symbolizes a world of suffering. When I'm suffering, there actually is a way out. That's the good news. And the children represent all of the beings, you and I, who are trapped in suffering places. And in this case, the father in the story represents Buddha, who is interested in liberating all things from suffering. But in my case, I would say that the Buddha also represents our highest self. So my own personal highest self, my entelechy, the highest evolutionary beingness of me, is also seeking to liberate me from suffering. And the toys and games represent the different paths to enlightenment, spiritual practices, ways of being, how we can actually kind of utilize what's out there, have some fun in it, and get out of suffering. And so that's what we teach here. We teach all the toys and games for you to get out of suffering. Yay! I know. So our gift here is that you can be completely liberated from suffering in all areas of your life. That's the promise here. And the interesting thing about life is it seems like there is no end to the level of good that can happen to you. So even if you feel like I'm pretty liberated right now, there's actually more liberation that can happen. There's more freedom that can happen. Once you are feeling liberated with your own individual life, well, there's a collective life that's happening. There's a country's life. There's a world life that's happening. So we're not all free until we're all liberated together collectively. And so there's always something to be done. There's always something that we can work on. Whether we think we're doing great, then we can go to the next level. So in this book, there's a methodology, which is the biological method of change. So there's a process to this, which I'm going to give you today. There's a little slide that you can look at. This is in the book, actually. It's on page 182, if you have the book. But here's the deal. There's a familiar past, and we need to get our familiar past, take off the familiar past, and put on a brand new future in order to create liberation in our lives, which means that we need to unlearn things and relearn a new way of being. We need to break the habit of being ourselves and reinvent a new self. We need to prune the synaptic connections in our brain in order to sprout new connections. We understand that there's going to be some unfiring and unwiring going on in order to fire and wire the new paradigm. We get to unmemorize an emotion in our body in order to recondition our body to a new way of being. And that means we got to lose our mind and create a new mind. So it's okay if you're losing your mind. This is good news for all of us, right? And we become familiar with the old self so we can let it go and become familiar with the new self. We have the opportunity to deprogram in order to reprogram. And oftentimes the familiar past means that we're living in the past, and instead we want to create a new future. And that means letting go of the old energy and welcoming in the new energy. So it's a great opportunity for all of us. So here's all you have to do. So that's, there it is. Ta-da! Okay, I'm done. No, So this is an opportunity for you to evaluate your own life and to notice when something is coming up in your life. This means being conscious of what is going on. Oftentimes, We, as humans, are ruled by our unconscious ways of being. If you've seen the picture of a, iceberg. Picture of an iceberg. There's like a little tiny iceberg on the top, and then there's this gigantic iceberg down below. So the top of the iceberg is our conscious thought, and then there's our unconscious behaviors and ways of being. And we need to consciously choose our unconscious ways of being, but we have to be conscious of what is unconscious. Got it? This happened to me recently. Well, one of the things you can look at is you can ask yourself, like, when I become angry, what am I thinking? When I am angry, what do I say to others? What do I say to myself? How do I act? What other emotions are coming through me? What does anger feel like in my body? How can I become conscious of what triggers my anger, and how do I change my reaction? So I have a little bit of a ridiculous example of something that happened to me recently. Every morning, my wife makes me coffee because she's amazing, and I love her. And a few, like last week, I woke up, she wasn't in the bed, and I walked through the hallway, and she's at her desk. I mean, it's like before she goes to work at 8 a.m. She's working on work, and I walk out to the coffee, and there's no coffee. And I get angry. I mean, I'm like, where's my coffee? And then I notice, okay, I'm angry. I got this conscious attention. And I think about what thoughts are coming up? Why am I angry? She doesn't care about me. I really don't deserve coffee in the morning. And so I start understanding my current state. So this is step number one, is you understand your current state of being. Now, the truth is that she does love me. She makes me coffee every freaking morning. Like, she loves me. She definitely loves me. And I really don't deserve coffee. Like, where did that come from? You know, I don't deserve it. You can see there's some kind of unconscious belief going on under there. And I had to shift my attention into recognizing that I have a wife that I'm super grateful for, and I'm really grateful for the 99.99 times that she makes me coffee every morning. And I had to get myself shifted into that state of gratitude and go, oh, I'm an adult. I can make my own coffee this morning. And so I do. And by the time I'm done, I'm happy, I have my coffee, I'm drinking my coffee, I bring her coffee, and we're all good. So here's the thing. This is the step-by-step process that you need to do. Is one, you need to understand your current state. Become aware of your current state. Recognize what the habit is or the self-talk is that you're doing in order to shift it. The second thing you need to do is state some clear intentions. You want to decide what you want on a desired outcome. Start visualizing, start dreaming, start imagining what this state of intentionality would be. I can tell you, before I had a wife, my dream was to have somebody who would make me coffee in the morning. So that was a clear manifestation. The other thing that you need to do is reprogram your subconscious mind. So if you want to create a new way of being, you need to create a mantra, an affirmation, something that declares what this new state of being that you would love is. So you need to create something that you want to dream. What I notice whenever I counsel people is they're very clear at what they don't want, but they're not so clear at what they do want. And the beautiful thing about being in a situation that you don't want is it also clarifies what you do want. So make sure when you realize what you don't want that you start moving into the clarity and the visualization and the affirmation of what you do want. The next thing that you need to do is to have consistent practice and reinforcement, to reinforce your mind, to have a habitual behavior that you do over and over and over again to welcome in the new way of being, which means you're letting go of the old way of being. Now, I've done this before. I've claimed my new way of being, and then all of a sudden I slipped into this old pattern. And I used to say, oh my God, look at what a terrible person I am. I can't do this because here's the evidence. Now I'm back in my old pattern again. But what I shifted to is I claim this new way of being. I'm doing the new way of being, doing the new way of being. Get into the old pattern and I say, oh, thank you, God, for reminding me of how I used to be. Okay, I'm done with that. And then I move on. So the next thing to do is to embrace your discomfort and your growth, which means that you get to be uncomfortable when you do something new. Have you ever tried something brand new? Like I tried Zumba class and then I can't dance like people can dance, you know? Or I tried singing and like all these people are singing great. It's like when you do something for the first time, it's uncomfortable and awkward. You're not going to be a master at it. And bless yourself for starting into that new process. Come in with beginner's mind. And the last thing is to celebrate your progress and your success. So I'm going to use a really quick example. Let's imagine case study, Sarah. She's in her late 20s. She's overworked and she feels stuck in a rut. Then she goes to a workshop, realizing that she could actually have a different paradigm in life. So what does she do? She understands her current life. She says, my current schedule, which is so booked up, doesn't give me any time for self-care and reflection. So what I'm going to do, she says, is I'm going to visualize myself as a confident person who has a balanced life. And then I'm going to start taking steps of what that person would act like, what that person would be like. What would that person do? Well, maybe she would, now this is not reflecting me at all, maybe she would need to block out an hour in her calendar for lunch to go on a walk. Maybe she would need to block out some times for that self-care so she's not overworked. So then Sarah starts a practice. She visualizes her own person. She sets her goals. She sets her intentions. And then she starts a daily practice to cultivate inner peace, to cultivate that life of peace and harmony and ease and grace. And then she starts surrounding herself with community that is in alignment with those same patterns. And in order to help herself, she has her community remind her of who she is in the process. So when she forgets, she doesn't say, I'm a terrible person. She just says, oh, that's who I used to be. And then when she does that, she allows herself to celebrate her growth, to have mileposts to look back at and to see when she has actually shifted herself. And she celebrates herself by, like, I don't know, a spa day. And so that's our example of who we can be. Now, you have areas in your life, financial, relationship, life purpose, legacy, what's your legacy? There's all these different areas in your life, and maybe some things are going fantastically well. But then there's this whole area that maybe needs a little bit of work. So my invitation to you is to take yourself on, knowing that the infinite universe, or your highest self, is giving you the opportunity to play the game of life in order to step into that freedom and liberation that you have been seeking. And that promise is here today. I'm giving you the promise that if you step into the game of life and you play the game, you will be liberated, because life wasn't meant to be a place of suffering. And that's what I know. So with that, I am going to go a few minutes over today because I want to honor Mother's Day. I want to honor Mother's Day for the mothering in the room. And so I recognize that the sacred feminine resides in each and every person. And mothering is really important. It is love, nurturing. It is that thing that births new paradigms, new selves, into being. So today is a perfect day to honor that in yourself and to honor it in each other. So what I'd love for you to do is just kind of put your arms up. And for those of you who are online, I'm putting my arms up to you. I'm honoring all of you. I don't know if you can see on here. It's a great group of people putting your hands up. So just imagine you're sending this energy out to everybody who is in alignment with these words. To those who experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. To those of you who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you and we honor you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you and we honor you. To those of you who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. And to those of you who lost a mom this year, we grieve with you. To those of you who have experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. And to those of you who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those of you who are single and long to be mothering of your own children, we mourn the life that has not turned out how you expected. And to those who step parent, we walk with you on those complex paths. To those of you who love on your grandchildren, we celebrate in joy with you. And to those who envisioned loving on grandchildren but don't have any, we grieve with you. To those who are empty nesters, we both grieve and celebrate with you. And those of you who've placed up children for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you do hold that child in your heart. And to those of you who mother and nurture animals who feel like your children, we understand and honor that love as well. So this Mother's Day, we honor all of you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors here in our midst. We see you, we honor you, we love you, and so it is. So let's pray. I'm so grateful to be in this place right here and right now, the sacred and the holy place. I recognize and know that in this divine mothering that is happening on this day, I acknowledge Mother Earth, Gaia, Pachamama. I acknowledge the sacred feminine, the divine mother, who nurtures me right now. And I know and claim that today something has shifted within each and every person who is in this room and online, each and every person who hears these words, that something is awakened to birth a new way of being, a new paradigm, a new coat of beingness. And I claim forth the joyful games, the joyful spiritual practices, the joyful ways of being that are attractive to each and every person so that there is a path through this way. I release any suffering, I surrender it, I let it go, and I claim and liberate myself, and I claim and liberate each and every person here who is willing to say yes to that liberation. And so as I say yes, I claim and know that something has shifted, something is in alignment today that allows each and every one of us to walk forth into a new life, into a new way of being that allows us to really see the joyful life that God, Spirit, Source intended for each and every one of us to have. And as I claim that truth, I allow it to just cover me like a blanket of love, allowing me to be wrapped up in it, adored by it, and to be infused with it right here and right now. And in that truth, I let it go, I let it be, I'm grateful for it, and so it is. Thank you all.